Can you believe we are closing 2023 and opening 2024? As I was preparing this message, I took a stroll down memory lane. Please allow me to share it with you. Young lady, who, me? Are you talking to me? She said, yes, I am. Young lady, you need to get rid of that attitude. Well, I was 13, and I'm sure that I rolled my eyes, put my hands on my hips, and stomped off. This was a regular dialogue between me and Mama. Honestly, I don't know how she dealt with my attitude during those teenage years. I was full of rebellion, pride, and disrespect. But through the grace of God, I was given many second chances to readjust my attitude. This is a good time of year for us to reflect on the year ending and look forward to the year that begins tomorrow. The time of year when we can think about new beginnings, second chances, a do-over. Let's take a little time to pause this morning and consider a year-end adjustment attitude for ourselves. God gave us a free will, and we think and we behave according to our own choices. Obviously, in my youth, I was exercising my free will. What does the Bible say about our attitudes? In Romans 12:2, it says for us not to copy the behavior and customs of the world, but to let God transform us into a new person by changing the way that we think. Paul writes that we are not to conform to the world's attitudes, that we should fit our thinking to God's perfect will, His attitude. Our standard of behavior no longer looks like the world, and we do not continue to do the things that we've always done. Rather, we are to change, and this change begins in our minds. It takes a conscious effort thinking about how God's way is different from the world around us. This involves transforming our thought life. Some may refer to this as a metamorphosis or a complete change, but it involves the renewing of the mind. I found this poem that fits with today's message. We must be willing to give our heart before any transformation or morphing can take part. If we're to undergo a complete radical change, our thoughts and our ways, God will have to rearrange. To become a new creation isn't something up to us, but by the power of God in Him, we learn to trust. If we are not to be to the world conformed, we must allow our lives in Jesus to be transformed. A renewing of our minds is part of the process. We must put on the new man and leave the old behind, giving our all to a renewed mind. Think for a moment about how a renewed mind operates. Is it an attitude that is gracious, grateful, positive? Well, Christ's attitude was one of servanthood and sacrifice, and that meant that He put the needs of others before Himself. The Bible tells us over and over that our attitude affects our whole life, from our spiritual health to our worship of and our ministry for the Lord. Here's some truths about attitude. Happiness is a choice. Some people believe that happiness is a condition. When things are going great, they're happy. When things are going bad, they're sad. Well, some people think that happiness can be found in a position or a place. Others think happiness results from knowing or being with a particular person. People and circumstances do not determine our attitudes. We choose our attitude. We can allow the Holy Spirit to transform us and to give God gratitude for who He is and what He is doing in our lives. If we want to be miserable, then God will allow us to do it. But if we want to be happy, then the choice is ours too. By not choosing, we allow our circumstances to influence us. Here's a quote by Dennis Waitley. Happiness cannot be traveled to, owned, earned, or worn. It is the spiritual experience of living every minute with love, grace, and gratitude. How do we give ourselves an attitude adjustment? I may have benefited from this part when I was a young girl, but again, I was choosing to live by my free will. Have you ever heard the term attitude of gratitude? That means reminding yourself what you're grateful for in your life, staying focused on your blessings instead of your problems, being grateful for the constants that are from God, peace, grace, forgiveness of sin, hope, mercy. Maybe start a gratitude journal. Make a habit of acknowledging your daily blessings. Express your gratitude to God musically. I love to sing in my car, although I can't sing, but I love to sing in my car. Music is a powerful way to praise God. Psalm 28:7 proclaims, "The Lord is my strength and shield. I will trust Him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving." When your heart is filled with joy because of how God has worked in your life, sing a song to thank Him for it. Thank people that have made a difference in your life. Remember those who have helped you by giving you encouragement, guidance, those whose caring has contributed to your life, or even strengthened your faith. Reflect on friends, families, coworkers, and others who help you appreciate. Then express your gratitude to them. I recently did this. I had a dream about a youth leader that I knew when I was a teenager. And I found out his current contact information and I called him. I said, "Hey Ronald, this is Tina. I just want to let you know that I had a dream about you and I wanted to say thank you. You made a difference in my teenage years. I was going through a rough patch and you gave me hope. You prayed for me. You encouraged me. And that moved me in the right direction." I told him some people, you know, don't come forward and thank someone because they think it's really not going to make a difference. But your faith in Jesus made a big difference to me. And here you are, still writing and serving the Lord as a missionary all around the world, sharing the gospel. Consider ways to pay your blessings forward. Ask God to show you how you can best use your resources, your time, your money, your talents, to help people. Make a specific plan to volunteer, to contribute, and to serve in a way that God leads you to. You can also adjust your attitude by reminding yourself that God is in control and He will guide you in what is best for you, regardless of whether it makes sense to you or not. Faith is necessary to mold our attitude, and having faith in God results in a positive outlook and a determination to obey and serve God. So keep your faith alive. Choose to approach each day by submitting to the Lord. A humble heart that is open to correction and surrendering to God is a sure way to adjust our attitude. We can have humility when it comes to trusting God and putting our future in His hands. Isaiah 55 says, "His ways and plans are higher and better than ours could ever be." If we aren't humble, then we're prideful. And if we're prideful, our perception is distorted, and we don't see things as they truly are. And we certainly don't see other people's value because we don't even see our own flaws because we're walking in pride. When we're humble, we ask for help when it's needed. We give credit where credit is due. We're quick to forgive. We're difficult to offend. And we wait on God for our defense. The humble are peace lovers. They serve others. And as a humble person, you have a tender conscience and you're quick to repent. You see and you admit your weaknesses. All of these descriptions of a humble person reminded me of one of Pastor's favorite passages in the book of James. "Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up higher and higher, and He shall lift you up." As we know, Pastor is a fan of holy humor. Allow me to share this with you. Forrest Gump goes to heaven. St. Peter meets him at the pearly gates and says, "Forrest, it is so good to see you, but I must tell you that heaven is filling up. So I have three questions for you, and if you get them right, I can let you in." Forrest says, "Okay, but I'm not really good at tests." St. Peter says, "Don't worry, Forrest, these are easy questions. First question, what day of the week begins with the letter T?" Well, Forrest says, "That's easy, today and tomorrow." St. Peter says, "Well, that's not what I was looking for, but I guess that's correct." Okay, here's a second question. How many seconds are there in a year? Forrest thinks for a minute, replies, "Well, I guess there's 12. 12, St. Peter says. "How in the world did you come up with 12 seconds in a year?" "Well, there's January 2nd. February 2nd. Hold it, St. Peter says. "I see where you're going." St. Peter says, "Okay, here's your final question. What is God's first name? Fuller shouted out, and he says, I know this one for sure. It's Howard. St. Peter, almost speechless, says again, Forrest, how did you come up with Howard? Forrest says, oh, that's easy. You know the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. St. Peter quickly opened the gate up and said, run, Forrest, run. Back to our message. We were talking about what humbleness looks like. And so maybe you could consider this a humble daily checklist. You show thanks to God and others. You keep an open mind while listening to others. You accept fault when you're wrong. You trust in God's plan when it might not make sense to you. You show love and patience to others. And you refrain from showing pride. The last way you can adjust your attitude is by having respect. Respect for family, friends, and authority. You can see the best in others, even though they may not see it in themselves. You know, when you treat people with respect, you're letting them know that they're valued and they're important. And how we treat others is a reflection of ourselves. Knowing that we're all made in the image of God should prompt us to see the value in others. God calls us to love one another and follow the golden rule, Matthew 7:12. Do to others what you would like them to do to you. I've spent a lot of time focusing on the positive attitude, so let's spend a few minutes considering what a negative attitude produces. Negative thinking limits God and our potential. Being positive does not mean we deny the existence of difficulty. It means that we believe that our God is greater than the difficulty. Negative thinking blows things out of proportion. We're all familiar with Murphy's Law. Nothing is as easy as it looks. Everything takes longer than you expect. And if anything can go wrong, it will at the worst possible moment. And number three, negative thinking keeps us from enjoying life. As we read earlier in Romans 12:2, God has a good life for us, but we have to have our mind completely renewed to experience it. Today's message title, Year-End Adjustment Attitude, is best summed up in the book of Philippians. Philippians is often known as the Epistle of Joy because of Paul's attitude in prison while he was writing it. Rejoicing in every circumstance and finding joy in the middle of trials is a major theme. Paul has every reason to be discontent and upset by the world's standards as he's in prison because he's been preaching the gospel. But despite his circumstances, he still has joy and thankfulness. It's difficult for us to grasp how faithful he was to the Lord through this whole time because most of us have not experienced this kind of persecution firsthand. If imprisoned, do you think our top priority would be to show joy and preach humility, love, and service? It's incredible to me that Paul had every earthly reason to pout, be angry, or question God's plan, but he chose to rejoice. And instead of being filled with anxiety and fear, he chose contentment and prayer. That kind of trust and confidence in the Lord is difficult to find in our world today. In the following verses, we are given a living picture of the mind of Christ, one of humility and obedience. And if you belong to Christ, you already have his mind. Jesus has shown us how the mind will create expressions of humility in the lives of those who belong to him. When we study his word, when we fix our eyes on him, he will teach us his attitudes, his thought patterns, and his ways of humility. Listen to Philippians 2 from the Message version. If you have gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave and became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and earth, even those long ago buried and dead, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. There is no better way to get an attitude adjustment than to take on the mind, the heart, and the attitude of Jesus. When we clothe ourselves in humility, we find true joy and contentment regardless of circumstances. Our worth is found in knowing Jesus, not in our circumstances or our daily trials. So I challenge you, tomorrow morning, January the 1st, when you wake up, make a decision. Are you going to have a worldly attitude or godly attitude? Let us bow in prayer. Father God, we repent of our bad attitudes, our grumbling, and our complaining. We want the world to see your joy and hope in our lives. Show us how we can be your hands and feet in loving our family and friends and even those who are yet to know. We want to draw others to you through our attitude. Give us your words of truth and love to share, and shine your light through Bethel so that the whole world will see the difference that your Son and Holy Spirit make in our lives every day as believers. We praise you because you're worthy. May we honor you with our very breath, our attitudes, and our actions. In Jesus' name, amen.